From Providence to Pasadena, history teaching in our public schools is in a sorry state. A study by the Rhode Island Historical Society shows that despite the need for students to know more about the past, history education is getting the short shrift in the classroom. There are many reasons for this, says Luther Speer, who teaches the history of American education at Brown University and serves as a consultant on history teaching across the country. Speer says history and civics have taken a back seat in recent years to the relentless push for more science and math. It's hard to blame teachers for this. History and civics must be secondary to subjects like math and English that are tested ad nauseum. Our state education department expects students to study American history, but doesn't check their knowledge on standardized tests. This has led to an attitude of what's tested is what's taught, according to Speer. For better and worse, this is human nature. In the classroom and on the job, it's natural in a competitive society to master what you know will get you ahead, forsaking the stuff that isn't likely to get you promoted. The other element that's making history teaching difficult is the nation's wide political divisions. The Civil War is a florid example. It's often hard to find a consensus on great events by professional historians, but most trained in academic history agree that slavery was the major cause of the war. A majority of the public seems to have caught on. A recent poll by the McClatchy News Organization and Marist College found that 55% of Americans think schools should teach that slavery was the, quote, main reason for this war. Yet in Texas, state academic standards list slavery third among the causes of the war, after states' rights and sectionalism. Slavery, says a Republican member of the Texas Board of Education, was merely a side issue in the war. Speer says that historical illiteracy is rampant even on his Ivy League campus. He says he's astounded by the number of undergraduates who don't know what the New Deal was about or who was president during its heyday in the 1930s. Across Providence at Rhode Island College, history professor Robert Savornik has the same worries. Today he holds his first class with students who plan to become history teachers. He says he'll be working harder than ever to instill the importance of history in his charges. There may finally be some light at the end of this tunnel. A new effort by the General Assembly and Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea is establishing a program to teach Rhode Island's long African-American history. The Common Core standards do not prescribe history teaching, but the literacy elements of the core require students to decode historical documents, says Elliot Krieger of the State Education Department. History is important not as a recitation of names and dates, but as discipline that teaches critical thinking, the use of primary sources, and how to marshal coherent arguments based on evidence. The past is always open to interpretation, yet old wine can be poured into new wineskins as another generation sees the past in novel ways. Rhode Island should be a laboratory for teaching history. Our state has arguably the nation's best record of documenting the past, especially in the preservation of historic sites. The state should make a small investment to ensure that kids get to experience such gems as the colonial buildings on Benefit Street, the African-American Cemetery in Newport, and the birthplace of the American Industrial Revolution in the Blackstone Valley. That's just a small sampling. History gives us a deeper view of our humanity. It's a way to escape from what the critic Irving Howe aptly called the, quote, provincialism of the contemporary and the shallowness of disposable media, fashions, and fads. It's trite to cite the adage that those who don't understand the past are condemned to repeat it, yet it happens to be true.